The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Jefferson lives on because we keep it alive.
Yes, ma'am. I am here, Terry Raposa, with Janet Chandler. How are you, my dear?
I am kicking and ready to go.
A.K.A. Mama Jefferson,
that's
Mama
it.
J.
That's it.
We're broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 96.5 FM, the music does sound better. 1460 AM, if you choose AM. We're also streaming live worldwide at kcnrradio.com, kcnrradio.com, and we will be archiving the show about 5 minutes after we're done.
That's correct, sir.
And you can go back to that. In fact, you can go back 12 years and listen to archives if you really wanted to. I don't know if I'd want to do that, but you may want to. But we have a pretty good show in store for you today. We also... you can call in at 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, because we are going to want your opinion on some things once we get rolling here. But I have a couple of announcements I'd like to make. One is that Robin Latow, who is running for the the Congress here in the new District 2, which, unfortunately, folks, we're there. She is a Republican candidate. She will be tomorrow, Monday, at Lulu's, and there'll be a 5:30 arrival, and everything begins at 6. There'll be beverages you can purchase, and I'm not really sure if they're going to have hors d'oeuvres or anything, but Robin will be there to answer any of your questions. She'll be there at 5:30. The festivities start at 6, again at Lulu's tomorrow. Also, I'd like to bring up the Second Amendment event, probably the most important fundraiser that we've had this year by a mile. And that's not discounting any of the others by any stretch of the imagination, but this could affect the United States as a whole. It's a legal fund to restore the Second Amendment and the rights in open carry in California. It's a fundraising dinner, live auction on Friday, August the 21st. Friday, August the 21st. It'll be at the Anderson VFW Hall. That is on 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. It's a no-host bar starting at 4. Come in and peruse the area. There'll be lots of good items, lots of good auction items. We're going to have a barbecue dinner by John Knight. John Knight is probably, in my mind, the most generous man in this county. He seems to help with everything that needs to be helped with. He is cooking that dinner along with Patrick Jones. The speaker will be Mark Baird. He'll be speaking about the Second Amendment, a rather pithy speech, so we can get on with the festivities and the fun. Also, if you want tickets individually, they're $40 each or $250 only for a table of eight. Not $1,000 like some of the dinners I've heard of late, $1,000 for table of eight. This is $250 for a table of eight, and you get a steak dinner. Now, you can purchase the tickets at Jones Fort, which I would suggest just head over to Jones Fort, purchase your tickets, or you can make a check payable to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, 1304 East Street, Suite 110, Reading, California, 96001. That's Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, 1304 East Street, Reading, California. And that would be Suite 10. You can go ahead and mail off a donation or your check there. Just make sure you put in the memo portion when you make it out to Pecan 2A or to a fundraiser, whatever trips your trigger if you're going to the fundraiser. But we really want to encourage people to go fill that room. If Mark does get this through the en banc panel in the Ninth Circuit, it could possibly go to the Supreme Court. I'm thinking it probably will go to the Supreme Court. So we're going to need to fight this thing all the way. I mean, at what point do we need permission for a right?
You don't. And if you need permission, it's not a right. And if it's a right, you don't need permission.
Amen to all that. So, again, if you need to contact anybody about this, you can contact me, Terry, at 530-246-9706, or Linda Kent at 530-221-0101. So, with that.
Well, speaking of fundraisers, I do want to announce that the Shasta County Republican Central Committee is having a fundraiser on Friday, the 31st of July. Steve Hilton, candidate for governor, will be the speaker. And if you want to go, it's too late. They sold out.
Oh, did they?
They did, yes.
Oh, that's good.
Which shows support for Steve Hilton in the North State.
Yeah. Well, there will be. I mean, he's going to win here. We're probably 65-40. You know, it all depends on the other ones. It's sort of like even with Robin's campaign. Robin's a great gal. We've had her in here and interviewed her. She's a friend. And I think she'd be a great candidate. She'd work hard for the people. But, you know, when you have places like San Mateo County, Los Angeles County, San Francisco County, Santa Clara County, San Francisco County, you're talking about probably 80% registered Democrats. And they would outnumber 20 counties up here in the North State. Each one of those counties is probably 2-1. So when you look at the position of being able to vote, we still need to stand. We still need to vote. We still need to vote for a candidate. But
dare I point out that when there is such a disparity between the political following in the urban coastal counties and the north rural counties, where we have maybe 80% are going to vote for Hilton in Shasta County and 20% are going to vote for Hilton in San Mateo County. Isn't it time to separate the counties into different states? How can you have such a disparity of beliefs and still have a cohesive state? You can't. Not everybody can be represented when they just simply don't agree on philosophy.
I agree. Talk about agreeing. We had a fundraiser for Measure B on Friday night. It was a lot of fun. It was a good fundraiser. It was successful. I hope that we made a lot of money on that. But there was a recent interview with Chris Kellstrom that is sort of would take you back. I don't think I've ever heard a guest come in and say to the guest host, "I have questions for you." Well, excuse me. You're a guest on a show. That's why you're called a guest, not someone who is going to go in and bully their way through things. And frankly, that's what it sounded like if anybody heard that program. And Janet, I know you've got some thoughts on that.
I did also listen to that interview, and Chris Kellstrom was very assertive in his position, but he has always been assertive on that position. And I would ask Chris this question. Do you want to be right, or do you want to do the right thing? And they are mutually exclusive in this case. Yes, Chris, we know. We know that many of the tenets of Measure B violate state law. We knew that going in. You were not the only person who understood that. There were many of us who voted yes and understood that we were going to be fighting against established state law. It isn't that we were ignorant. It isn't that we were ill-informed. It's that we voted right anyway. So don't stand there on your little molehill preaching about how right you were all along and how you knew it and we were all stupid and followers and just didn't understand. Yeah, we did. So, Chris, who is your constituency? The people of District 5, the people of Shasta County, or the state of California? I have always tried to practice consistency in my political beliefs. And I see so many inconsistencies in what Chris Kellstrom is doing now, and it bothers me. He is willing to throw aside the people of Shasta County and the way they voted on Measure B and support the state's position. And he also is inconsistent in his willingness to throw aside our ROV clerk and have him be prosecuted, but we're not going to prosecute our district attorney. We either are a cohesive group in Shasta County standing up for what we believe against the state of California, or we are mice running around trying to keep the cat happy so it will not attack us. Frankly, I'm willing to stand up and fight the cat.
You know, that's a great point, Shannon. You know, and when we talk about what happened with Stephanie Bridget, she admitted to using her staff during working hours to help with her campaign. You can't do that. She admitted it. The county has elected to, if she does get sued, to pay for her legal defense. And the whole argument against Measure B was we didn't want to spend money on a legal defense. Now, the legal defense for Stephanie, it was justified by Chris in saying that, well, we'll spend money on that, but, you know, that's because of the fact, and we need a defender because of the fact there was an issue at a school where a teacher or counselor, I'm not sure which, actually had made some sexual advances behind closed doors to a young girl, and he was suspended and all that stuff. Well, apparently he was exonerated from all that, so I guess the school district got sued. What does sexual harassment have to do with what Stephanie Bridget did? And I don't know if that gentleman, if you want to call him a gentleman, if that guy went ahead and admitted guilt or not, but Stephanie Bridget did. Now, Chris's other defense is, well, you know, she could hire outside attorneys. So guess what Chris and the gang did? They hired two more attorneys. I kid you not. We don't want to spend money to defend Chris. We don't want to defend the people. Chris's other reasoning was, well, 45% or 44% voted against that. That's not all of Shasta County. Okay, well, I guess the people that voted against you for Barron Browning really should do, because, I mean, it wasn't everybody that voted for you, Chris. Some people voted for Barron Browning, right? So, you know, really, the whole thing is, the reasoning behind what he's doing is just unbelievable. How you can take one case and correlate that with the others, like saying, well, this isn't really Earth, it's Mars. I mean, how can you even possibly do that? One last thing on that point. The Bonta, who is our attorney general, did not say she wasn't guilty. He just said, we aren't going to pursue it. That's what he said.
Well, how can you deny her guilt when she said,
right,
yes,
I did it.
It boggles the mind. Now, the case that they keep referring to in Southern California, wherever it was, the guy maintained his innocence from the start and was eventually not held to answer on these charges. So he was not found guilty of anything. With Stephanie Bridget, that running for office during her district attorney hours is not part of her assigned duties. She was beyond doing what she was supposed to be doing, and it was a violation of, I don't know, law or code of some sort.
Yeah.
How can they say, well, we have to defend her when she admits that she broke the law? It's not a fair comparison
to the
other case.
Here's the reasoning. The reasoning is, this was Chris's reasoning. Well, if she hires an outside attorney, then that could cost us a lot more money. So what did they do? They hired two, plus Laura Moore. I mean, you can't have it both ways. And even like with the, you know, and folks, if you have an opinion on any of this, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. The flock cameras. Okay? Reasoning on the flock cameras. Actually, I want to go back to the point of when Chris basically said people didn't know what they were doing, they were voting. They didn't know what they were doing. So people are stupid. First of all, the constituents are stupid as far as what Chris Kellstrom thinks. They're stupid. And on top of that, not only are they stupid and uninformed, but he knows better. Oh, and by the way, we'll defend Stephanie, and we'll do it so it's cheaper, so we hire two outside attorneys. Unbelievable.
Measure B. Chris made a big deal about asking Kelly Frost if he had read it.
Read it. Oh, my God.
Okay, Chris, yeah, I've read it. I have read it more than once. I have looked at it. I have studied it. I know that it violates current state law. I get that. But the people who went to Boston Harbor in December of 1773 knew that they were violating the king's law by throwing tea into the harbor. They knew that they were violating the king's law by marching to Lexington and Concord. They understood that. They knew full well what they were doing. But it reaches a point at which you have to start making protests rather than just sitting there and saying, well, it's the law. What can I do? Well, you can stand up against the law if you do not believe the law is valid.
Amen to that, Mama Jay. You know, and the flock cameras was an interesting remark, too. Well, you know, he had sat in there with the sheriff, and he thought it was a good idea, so we'd get the flock cameras. Well, the host of the program's position was, well, you know, that they're still observing us and stuff. Well, you know, then you have a cell phone, don't you? If you've got a cell phone, well, by gosh, don't you think they can observe that? So let me get this straight. Because the government can observe you on one thing, let's let them observe us on all the things. Let them take away all the privacy. What a dumb remark to make that kind of remark and say. And the other thing is, too, Chris, have you ever thought, I mean, do they just miraculously, oh, I know what he used is, oh, gosh, you know, they caught a guy who was an arsonist because of those flock cameras. But did they have to look at any other license plates? How did they find him? Did he have a little sign in his window saying, it's my license plate?
I get the usefulness of the cameras. Absolutely. They are finding crimes. They are solving crimes. That's not my issue. It is not who uses that information. It's who stores that information.
Amen.
Who has control of all the information that is stored from those cameras? I may trust Reading PD and Shasta County Sheriff's Office and their use of what they get from those cameras. I don't know what company has access to that stored information and at what point in the future it might be used for reasons that are not valid and are not legal. It is a loss of my privacy put into private hands over which I have no control.
If you value security more than your freedom,
You deserve neither. Yes.
Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
You know, and that's the whole thing. I mean, come on. But the reasoning, I mean, oh, because they can find you on your cell phone. Well, okay, that's great. Okay, so the people are stupid. First of all, we don't know what we're doing when we vote. We don't know what's going on. We've all been duped, except Chris. He hasn't been duped. And, you know, and the other thing is that we want to save money on attorney fees for Stephanie Bridget, so let's hire two outside attorneys. There's even more. I mean, that's the tip of the iceberg with this guy.
I have control over my cell phone to a certain degree. I have the choice of whether or not I want to have a cell phone. I have a choice of how secure I want to make my cell phone information available or not available. I have some options when it comes to a cell phone. I have no options when it comes to the flock cameras. I cannot say what will
That's
or will
right.
not be done with that information. I have no choice as to whether or not they will be there reading my license plate. And don't even come to me with, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, then what difference does it make? That's not the issue.
My gosh.
That is such a straw dog.
Yeah, we have a caller on the line. Dolores, what say you?
Hey, Terry, I'm going to give you two of my opinion. I hope you're willing to listen.
Dolores, we can't. Your phone's a bit muffled. You don't have a. I don't know whether we're on speakerphone or what it is.
No, I'm not on speaker.
Oh no, but you're a little. We just want to hear what you have to say, and your phone's a little bit echoey. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just want to say I have two opinions. If you're willing to listen, I want to give you my opinion, and you know, I try not to call because it's all you know. I feel like it's only one-sided, even when people try to call and give their opinion, you guys are not willing to listen. But I'm going to give you two things that I think that the people who went and gathered the signatures, they should have focused. They should have focused on recalling the DA. Gathering that many signatures when they went out there for Measure B, they should have focused on the DA and killed two birds with one stone. Instead of doing one thing at a time, which is now we got the Attorney General suing the five people in the county, and there's more to come. But I think they should have focused on the DA. That should have been the first priority, to remove her from office, for not enforcing the laws and picking and choosing who to go after.
Okay, and what's your second point? Go ahead.
The second one, and maybe you don't know, but I can tell you I do know 100% from day one when the opponents, actually the five people who went and gathered signatures. They solicit, and if you look at the documents, it says to amend the charter, to circulate to amend the charter. When they gather the signatures, they gather 10,000 supposedly. We were not a charter when they gather those signatures. So those signatures become a void.
Actually, what happened is the state said that retroactively it was fine. The state said it was okay. So, I mean.
No, I have the documents. I'm telling you right now.
Well, then if the state didn't say it was okay, if the state said it was the wrong thing to do, well, then right then and there it could have been stopped. But the way
right.
My information is from the Board of Supervisors, who said that no, it's okay. And apparently, they got their information from Joseph Larmore. And Janet, want to say something?
No. Oh, you are absolutely correct. There was a glitch in the paperwork.
There was.
The filing didn't get done,
right.
And it wasn't where it should have been
not
at the right time.
September.
But the state itself said
it was
no
okay.
problem.
No problem. They did.
The measure is still valid. It still goes forward. And even in their lawsuit against the Shasta County now, they do not claim that it's invalid because the paperwork had a glitch in the filing.
I'm just saying that you probably don't know what I know because I'm actually involved a lot more than people know.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. I agree with you. Okay, we agree with that, but we're going to have to go off to a break and we've got other people lined up. But yes, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that the state, that wasn't the argument, whether you're for Measure B or not Measure B. It just wasn't the argument. I'm not saying that your argument isn't valid. It just wasn't one. It's kind of like with Bonta, and I'll leave it with this. Bonta basically had said that, it wasn't that Stephanie Bridget hadn't done a crime or not done a crime. What he said was, we weren't going to pursue it. That's what he said. So a lot of times we have a situation where we really can't control that. But I think we're going to go off.
Want to make one point about the cameras. And it has been well spread that is L.A. City or L.A. County, is going to be not renewing their contract for the cameras. And everybody thought, oh, great, they finally saw the light. They understand that it's a violation of our privacy. No, the reason that they're not going to renew the cameras is that ICE was using the information from the cameras to go out and arrest illegal aliens, and that upset the people in L.A. because they were being used for a legal purpose that wasn't their purpose.
Right. But see, again, they're not for that situation. And that, I mean, whether you agree with what those people say about the immigration situation or not, the cameras weren't, it just shows you that even though that might be a good thing, it's not it's still an invasion of privacy. Whether it's good or bad, it's an invasion of privacy, the way they used it.
And also back east, some of those the data from the cameras was hacked and being used to out people who should have remained private. So, again, my complaint is not with the cameras and the data and law enforcement. It is with the storage of the information from those cameras.
Amen.
Who has access to it and who uses it for purpose?
Well, if you have a question or a comment about any of this, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and we are going to go off to our break, our one and only break. Time has come.
For 51, and we're getting it done.
Amen.
Invest in your future today with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready fast with one of our high-demand career technical programs like nursing, heavy equipment, and welding, or work on transferring to a CSU or UC with guaranteed placement with the TAG or ADT programs. Full-time students get 2 years tuition-free. Fall classes start August 17th. Visit shastacollege.edu/start to make your success a reality at Shasta College.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Shasta County. Tired of filtered news? Welcome to Shasta Unfiltered, your trusted online newspaper for the North State. Straight facts on Reading politics, city council moves, local events, and the national stories that actually hit your wallet, like federal funding changes and job trends right here at home. No agenda, no paid spin disguised as news. Just honest reporting and the stories you need. Visit ShastaUnfiltered.com. Your community reported right.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. A proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s. As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store, we're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right, it's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? Unless you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
So let's leave it alone, 'cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh.
Have you got a little problem with your headphones, Mama J?
Yeah. They're only working on the left side. On the right side.
Well, you're on the right side of things.
Yeah, I'm in the right.
So, yes, we are back. This is Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. One ear Janet, because one side of her headphone doesn't work. Oh, she's now got two sides of
no,
her. Nope.
I don't. I just have one side.
Just one side.
I'm a one-sided kind of gal.
Oh, my goodness. You just anyway, we have a caller, and then after that, we have a clip. Dan, what say you, sir?
Yes, I was wanting to basically call in regarding the state split thing, and the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors are going to have a meeting on the 4th of August at 9 a.m.
I think that's the second.
And it,
isn't it?
Huh?
The 1st of August is a Saturday.
It's the 4th.
The 4th.
That's what I thought. Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Tuesday the 4th at 9 a.m.
Yes, sir.
And basically, it is the state split thing is not on the agenda, but basically we need to have as many people from Siskiyou County that's wanting state split to show up at the Board of Supervisors meeting and basically talk to the
Ray Halp. Yeah, Ray Halp. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got your email, and I think it was great. I sure appreciate what you did. Mark Baird is a neighbor of Ray's, and so he has been talking to him. So hopefully we can get that on the agenda. But as you said, and rightly so, as you said in your email, there's two that want it and three that don't. So Mark is working on one of the three that don't. But I don't know if it's that so much as it is that the fear factor, Dan. I don't know. I think those guys have kind of a fear factor. Go ahead.
Well, basically, I guess we, from what I, when I spoke to Ray last week, basically he was saying that we needed to basically get people to show up to the meetings and basically also call those other supervisors and basically convince them that this is what we want. So,
well, I think that I think you're right. And a lot of times, you see, when if they're saying no from everything, you've got to understand that Mark Barrett and Ray Halp and all of them were all involved in the state of Jefferson when they signed the Shasta County, the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors actually did sign a declaration saying that they wanted to split from California and become the state of Jefferson at the time because of lack of representation and dilution of vote. So they have got the folks that do that. So Ray is just, the real bottom line with Ray is he's got, he basically is done with what he's doing. He's going to retire. He's going. And then he is going to, so it really is an issue. There's three other ones, one of which is part of the California Rifle and Pistol Association, one of the main people. And that young man is somebody who we're working on now, but we need three. You're 100% right. And thank you for calling that, it being involved, Dan. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, and also, if that's it, we've got other callers on the line that we're going to have to take.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, thanks again for all you're doing, brother.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Rich? Is this somebody we know named Rich on the phone?
Is this Rich?
Is this D. Rich?
Big and Rich.
Somehow, I got a new nickname. As of yesterday, I won't say who, but somebody's calling me Superstones now. I don't know why.
Superstones. Jeez, do you stand in front of the mirror? What?
Well, now I got to go buy a cape, you know. No, not going to do that. But hey, Dolores saying we should have recalled the DA first.
Yeah.
Why didn't she do it?
Well, I mean, I love you, but I don't want to go into that. I mean, the whole point
I have a point. I have a point to that, though.
Go ahead.
Right? Why is it somebody else's job? Okay? If you want something done, then do it. You don't wait for somebody else to do your work for you. Anyways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And last, a year and a half ago when I was approached to help with Measure B, yes, I had been on the radio saying, I'm thinking about recalling the DA. But you know what? I work full-time and this and that. I don't have time to run two petitions. Sorry, folks. Rich does not have that kind of time. So I chose what I believe are the more important thing, because with a fair and transparent election, almost all of it gets fixed. With a fair and transparent election, the rest of it gets fixed. The true will of the people will be heard. So I chose to go Measure B. So there's your answer. That's why the DA recall never happened. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know that she was pinpointing that at any one particular person, but your point's well taken. I mean, if you want something done,
an army divided does not win a war.
Exactly right. So the thing is that you're right, Rich. I mean, if you want to do something, don't blame everybody else. Go do it or start it. I mean, I agree with that point. No matter, and that's not singling out Dolores or singling out any individual person, but point well taken. I mean, if you want something done, go do it. And I think that, I couldn't believe I can't believe our board of supervisors, frankly. That's, man, you probably heard the first part of the program, and it really is astonishing how, I guess we're all stupid. We need to be watched. We can't think for ourselves. And besides that, anybody who's a conservative, I guess their voice doesn't really count in the county. The one that counts is the people that, I don't think there's a lot of conservatives that are against Measure B, do you?
Not true conservatives. There might be some fake ones against Measure B. You know, the rhinos, they're against Measure B.
I understand the people who say, yes, I like what's in Measure B, but it isn't worth fighting against the state. So I think that's what it comes down to. Are you willing to fight, or are you willing to just sit there and say, oh, woe is me, nothing else I can do?
Bring on the cameras.
Yeah.
you're guaranteed to lose the fight. You never, that you don't put up your dukes.
Exactly.
Okay? If you just stand there with your hands to your side, you will lose the boxing match. Hello. Yeah. But yeah, the flock camera, the current lawsuit in San Jose, California, and I encourage everybody, instead of buying an $8 Big Mac, send the Institute for Justice, IJ.org. They are leading this lawsuit. They're a very similar philanthropic attorneys firm, right, that are do things pro bono or low cost or whatever. They are leading this, and they are asserting a Fourth Amendment argument regarding the flock cameras. So, you know, click on IJ.org and, you know, throw them a few bucks. I mean, my goodness.
Sure.
There's like, what, how many people in California? Is it 40 million now? My gosh, there's a lot of people in this state. If only 5,000 people sent them 10 bucks, my gosh, you're right, do the common core math. That's a really good start. That's a really good start for them, you know, to get this ALPR license plate case up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Can you give us that address again?
IJ, letter IJ, short for Institute for Justice.org. You know, throw them a few bucks. I mean, come on. You know, because there's many, Supreme Court cases. There's, the Carpenter case, I forgot. There's two more. One, we just had a fresh case. It was either the state Supreme Court or it was the U.S. Supreme Court. I forget the name at the moment. I'm not, at my computer. But we've now had a third, court hearing on electronic warrantless surveillance. And which sided with the people.
Wow.
And where the government should not be doing warrantless electronic surveillance. And we need an ALPR. We need an ALPR case to go to the U.S. Supreme Court in order for them to say, don't do it without a warrant. Now, I don't want the cameras there at all, like Janet said earlier. I don't want them there at all.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Although, the only remedy we may get is a Supreme Court opinion saying now you have to have a warrant, which, okay, that's a start, but the cameras need to go all together, in my opinion. Anyway, so, yeah, we had a good fundraiser Friday night. Thank you, everybody, who showed up, contributed, donated your time, money, effort, all that. It was good. We'll see where this goes. Our next court date on Measure B. I'm seeing a moving target. It might be August 7th, I think, is the next one.
Wow, that'd be the same day as Patrick's case.
I believe that's the case, yeah.
Wow, what a day in court, huh?
Yeah,
fight for liberty, buddy. Fight for liberty.
Buy tickets and bring the popcorn.
That's it.
Yeah, sorry, they don't let anything in the courtroom except, I believe, bottled water. So, sorry, no popcorn in the courtroom.
Darn. Well,
thank you,
I'm
everybody. Any questions before I go?
No, Superstones.
All right, have a good day.
All right, be good.
Let's talk about the match of Gavin Newsom versus Donald J. Trump.
Let's talk about that. In fact, we have a clip right now. Go ahead, brother.
I was disappointed that Gavin Newsom didn't show up. He didn't show up. He should be here. But I heard that he recently said that we will lose our country if we don't fight fire with fire. And to be fair, there's only one thing we know about Gavin, and that's that he definitely doesn't want to fight fire with water. He's got a lot of water and never uses. What a disaster. That should have never happened. But Gavin Newsom recently did a career-threatening, one of the worst interviews I've ever seen, where he said that he can't read a speech. He's incapable of reading a speech. He's a low IQ person. He's smarter, however, than all of the people in the room. And then he gets sued for being a racist, okay, when he said that. But he basically said he has various mental incapacities. He has difficulty in various other ailments mentally. And I'm looking at him saying, this is the worst interview. I'm watching this interview. I said, this is the worst interview I've ever seen given by a professional politician. I've been watching politicians for a long time, mostly on the previous side, because I haven't been doing this too long. How am I doing? Not bad for the number of minutes spent. Not bad. But with Gavin, so he said that all these things, and I said, anybody running against him, all they have to do is take that one interview and you can't lose. I actually put out a statement that Gavin Newsom has come out and said he will not be running for president because nobody can say what he said about himself and survive. Newsom was in big trouble when he openly admitted that Kamala was smarter than him. She said, Kamala is smarter. If Kamala is smarter than someone, you don't want that person to be president of the United States of America.
Priceless. Priceless.
The astounding thing is that Gavin Newsom, when he was talking about his learning disabilities, was talking to two or three people who are black African American, I don't know what you want to call them these days, and he in essence said, I'm as stupid as you are. You know, that it was just astounding. I have the same learning problems you guys have. There are no words.
And yet, to be a Democrat.
How many elections has this man won? Mayor of San Francisco, Attorney General, Governor twice. He beat a recall. People vote for him. And you just follow around Gavin Newsom with a paper towel wiping up the grease strips.
I don't have the clip, but there is a popular meme going around of this yogi saying, but the people are retarded.
Which really brings into question how fair and accurate are the elections in California.
Oh, yeah.
And if that's the case, maybe Measure B isn't too far off.
Well, you know, the whole point is that, you know, if you're elected by the people, A, you don't call them stupid. Well, I didn't use the word stupid. Close enough, though. Uninformed.
The implication
didn't know what they were
is
doing.
There,
yeah.
Yes.
You know, you don't say that they've got to be watched because they can't take care of themselves. You don't say that you're right, everybody else is wrong. You don't go into a position of saying that it's okay to defend one person and not defend the other because you don't want to spend money and then spend more money to defend a person who's already admitted guilt. Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. Can't even make this stuff up. You know, but the whole thing is, you know, you have people like that gentleman that'll walk around with a smirk on his face and just think, oh, you know, I've got a tiger by the tail. I'm not so sure. Because at this point, there's been a lot of people that have been alienated from certain supervisors at this point that are conservatives. Kevin Cry's been quite quiet of late, but I think that, you know, give him a pass. Man's got some health issues, some health problems.
I admire anybody who will put themselves out there and run for a public office. It is not easy. You take a lot of hits. You get insulted. You get yelled at. Not everybody loves you. So it is a thankless job, and I appreciate those who are willing to stand up and do it. However, at the same time, you have to remember who you're taking the hits for, and it's not you personally. You're taking the hits for your constituents. You should be willing to stand up and fight for them, for what they want, for what is right for them. And it is not an ego trip. It is a service obligation. And too many of our supervisors, our public elected officials, forget that this is not their party. It's the party of the people.
The man about town.
Yes.
You know, I heard a caller call into a talk show about Shingletown, and I guess the criminality in Shingletown is atrocious on what's going on up there with a lot of the cartels and drugs being run everywhere, you know, fentanyl, et cetera. And that is District 5, I think.
Yes, it is.
So I don't know. I mean, and I know that for years and years we haven't really had adequate law enforcement up there in the sheriff's department. They haven't been able to. I'm not really sure. Maybe somebody knows out there. If you know, you can call into the program and let us know. But I think that there's only one deputy, I think, maybe two, that are out patrolling that area. I could be wrong. But I know at one point there was. You know anything about that?
I don't, no.
How are you doing up in Bernie? Do you get pretty good coverage by the sheriff's department up in Bernie?
Well, I never need them, so I can't tell you. But I know that there are resident deputies.
Yes.
And they always have trouble getting deputies for the outlying areas because Usually it's the wives. They don't want to be in some out-of-the-way little town. They consider Reading to be small.
Yeah, well, Shingletown's only 20 miles.
I know.
You don't have to live there to go and patrol it. I mean, if you're in Reading, you could be an officer. In fact, the sheriff's department, to give you an idea, out of here, would patrol around Shasta Lake, Lakehead, and all that area up there. So it's just a patrolling thing. It's not like they're in another state or they have to live there. It's just, in fact, I know when they have prisons, they like the correctional officers to live almost an hour away so they can kind of decompress, I guess. Of course, that's a different type of job, but
yeah.
But they so they can decompress, and I know that was sort of a prerequisite for a lot of people that I know were around doing Pelican Bay and people that were doing the prison up in Susanville. So, I mean, you're driving up there. Depending on how fast you drive, it's about a 20-25 minute drive to Shingletown and 20-25 minutes home to Reading. So it's not like Bernie's different. I mean, you've got
right.
further to go, and I mean, that's an hour and 50 something miles, and then you have Fall River. So you have that, but if you're going to Shingletown, I mean, you got Shingletown and Lassen Park. I mean, you know.
It's a different circumstance.
Yeah.
People are always complaining that there is not enough law enforcement. I don't care where they are. There's never enough
That's
law enforcement.
That's why we need the Second Amendment.
Unless you are against ICE. And then there's too much law enforcement. And, of course, the Democratic Socialists of America now want to completely disband law enforcement and close the prisons and no more ICE and no more cops and everything. I don't know what they're thinking, and I don't know the mental capacity of those who would vote for such atrocious ideas.
Hmm.
Law enforcement is there to clean up the mess. It is not there to prevent crime. You cannot prevent crime. My husband was a highway patrol officer for a career, and he always said, you cannot prevent accidents. You can clean up the mess afterwards, but there is no way that you can prevent an accident. It's just not possible. And law enforcement, it's the same way. You will never have enough law enforcement officers on the street to prevent crime. And if you had one on every corner, then people would complain that they were being over-policed.
Well, I mean, that's a far cry from Shingletown, who has one. I mean, you know, the thing is that, again, it's the type of thing where the reasoning was, as far as law enforcement for Shingletown, had nothing to do with people wanting to be there, go there, anything like that. The argument that Basinko had was the fact he didn't have money for an officer.
That's always the complaint.
Yeah, okay, so it wasn't anything to do with anything other than the fact that there was no money. Well, the way I understand, well, I mean, we've got a sheriff that makes almost $500,000 a year. Maybe he could kick back in $100,000, you know?
You wonder.
Yeah.
There's a case up in north of us that really has not gotten enough explanation for my purposes, and that's the kidnapping of the two it wasn't fish and game, it was the two forestry officers who were held hostage for several hours by two men. We have never gotten an explanation as to
how long was that?
Oh, within the last week.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. Tell me.
Gumboot Lake. Yeah.
And they got held hostage.
They even sent hostage negotiators from the East Coast to negotiate with these two men. And we've never had an explanation as to why they took these
two. Did they free them in? And
they did. Okay. They eventually freed them. But what was the deal? The articles that I've read always have the teaser, more information, but they never give you more information as to why. What was the purpose? Was this about drugs? Was this about marijuana grows? I don't know. Why is it being held so strictly confidential why two officers were held hostage for, I don't know, 20 hours?
Yeah.
No, I think they were forestry.
Well, oh, okay.
Yeah, they were just out doing right. their normal job, and okay. these two gentlemen, not gentlemen, two men, took them tied their hands and held them hostage for many hours.
Maybe they didn't have a fishing license.
Well, I don't think so. So there's just so many things going on in our government, so many questions, so many unanswered things. I would like to think that I have more control over my government. And right now, I just have very little. And it bothers me.
Well, you're so uninformed. How can any of the people that run the county,
that's
you know,
true.
Respect you because you just don't know anything. You don't even know what you're voting for.
Well, I did read Measure B, but apparently I didn't quite understand it when I voted for it.
Oh, weren't you an educator? Like, oh my gosh.
I even learned to read before it was look say.
Didn't you help write a constitution? Wait a second here, but.
Critical thinking skill.
Oh, yes.
I want the ability to have a say in how my government is run. And right now, I don't have that feeling that I do at my county level. I don't have that at my state level. And I want my own state. By golly, I want to be able to say, I have my own state, and boy, did we mess it up, and it was a bad idea, and now we're going to have to fix it if that's the case.
Do you have the info on the call with you? The information on the call that we will have on Zoom
I do not have that information, but if you want to be on those Zoom calls for the state split,
yes,
and you wish to register your email address so the Zoom information link can be sent to you, go to ca.statesplit@gmail.com. ca.statesplit@gmail.com. Then you can be included in the Zoom call. We meet twice a month on the second and fourth Thursdays at 3:30. The phone call that took place this last Thursday was very short. It was over by 4. We just discuss what's going on, what needs to be done, which counties we need to work on, which counties have already supported, and who can do what. And it's just keeping the movement, the latest information on James Gallagher. And if you have not heard his latest, he was on Kelly Frost on Saturday morning at 7:30. Obviously, I'm not up at 7:30 listening to the radio. But you can go to, I found the archive at Freedom in Action Radio, Kelly Frost.
Okay.
And it took me to a website that had it archived. So you can go back and listen to James Gallagher and what he has to say. He's back in Washington, D.C., and he's making the point that for him, the best thing that he can do is put pressure on the House in D.C. and get them to support a state split. And then you come back to California.
Right.
You don't have to do California
first. That's right, because you don't have to do the state first. There's no specific thing in order.
It just says both, but it doesn't say in which order. So he's still working for you, and he has made the point that even though he will not be the representative for the new District 2, he's still going to support the people in the new District 2 who want a state split, because he recognizes that we will not have any representation once we are taken over by the West Coast.
And Rich Gallardo did challenge Chris Kellstrom to be on a radio show, and Kelly Frost did offer the format there, as we would offer the format there. I sent a text to Chris Kellstrom asking him if he would want to come on. And, of course, I'm not going to get an answer back. I know that.
Well, I hope he would.
The thing is it's a matter of courage. Can you bully somebody or not? I don't think – and I'll just say it. He can't bully us, because we will at least have an intelligent conversation with him and not allow him to bully us.
He is very assertive in his views. He is sometimes bordering on aggressive in his views.
Bordering?
And that's fine. He feels very strongly about what is going on. That makes for good leadership if it is directed properly. And I would love to hear him and Rich debate the issues, not personalities.
Right.
The issues.
Right.
I would love to, and Chris has some good ideas. He has some good points that he makes about Measure B and the position that has put the county in. It is not smooth sailing, but those issues need to be discussed.
Absolutely. I agree 1,000,000,000% with that, and that's what we were hoping we would get on Saturday, but it didn't quite work out that way. So with that, time has come.
For 51, help us get it done.
Help us get it done.
I was born in the red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue. I don't know what all that means to you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Attention.